With society's endless expectations upon you and mental health and anxiety issues on the rise, finding your true authentic self can be challenging. Being your true self is a key and never a mistake, because you are not a mistake. You are you, unapologetically. Join Dr. Kim R. Grimes as she creates a safe space and initiates influential conversations about you being you. Listen to discussions featuring step-by-step guides, techniques, and principles that you can sink your teeth into about uncovering your greatness, triggering a mindset shift, and living beyond your limiting beliefs. The time to connect with who you were created to be and fall madly, in love with you starts now. Here's your host, Dr. Kim R. Grimes.
Hello, Yay You family, and welcome back to another episode of You Are You Unapologetically. See, words cannot express my gratitude for the support it has. It has absolutely been off the chain. Thank you. Thank you so much. See, because I know your time is precious, and to spend your time with us, we are so honored and so humbly grateful. Yes. Now, you guys know how we do things around here, right? For your new guys who are just joining or listening to my podcast, instead of having on guests discuss one topic, we bring on multiple guests to discuss the same topic. Remember, we do this for diversity, point blank. There is so much noise going on in our world, right? And everyone has an opinion. So therefore, we come up with a topic and we invite our guests to come and discuss it. The same topic from different perspectives, because one person's perspective or situation may align with yours. And if it does, we want to provide you with the support in some form or fashion, in some kind of way. So in our last six episodes, we discussed a great topic, right? I'm quite sure you guys will agree on how can you live with yourself? How can you live with yourself? See, this topic generated amazing conversations with our guests. And we were blessed with six different individuals, amazing individuals who brought their different perspective on the topic. With Dr. Phyllis Hayes-Rims, we talked about how can you live with yourself and how to find redemption and start being present in life. And with Dr. Karen Bradford, it was like how to guard yourself to live with yourself. Nina Perez, we talked about overcoming shame, a path to self-acceptance and being you unapologetically. We had some heavy hitters, you guys. So with Eric Ampadu, we talked about what it takes to live with yourself with integrity and fulfillment. With Dr. Joseph Umidi, it was how can you live with yourself on being in alignment with your inner self. And with Professor Keith Rieger, we talked about live with yourself, right? How can you live with yourself, right? And discover your best self with marketing. So we had a phenomenal time the last episode, the last six, seven episodes or whatever that is. But we want to take a moment right now to thank all of our podcast guests who took the time out to come and share their perspective on the numerous topics that we had, including the last six, right? The last six episodes that we had. So I just want to say a special thanks to all of our guests from the last six to the first episode that we actually released. No doubt, we are changing lives here at YAYU, and it could not happen. It could not happen without your support as listeners, as well as each of our guests. So doing this episode solo, because it's about that time, you guys. It's about that time. And so I bet you're wondering, what am I talking about? Well, it's about that time to introduce a new topic for us to discuss on YAYU. So like I said, over the last couple of weeks, we had that one discussed and we had that one topic. So for the next several episodes, next couple of weeks, we're going to lean in, that is, and we're going to address something that every listener, every person who's listening, every person who watches our podcast, you all will be able to relate with. See, we all stumble in some form or some kind of way. Like, we all have stumbled. And I don't believe there is really any exceptions to this statement. I don't think there's any exceptions. So what I'm saying is this: we all have screwed up. We all messed up. There's all kinds of stuff and there's all kinds of things that we've all done wrong. Wouldn't you agree? Just like doing things wrong, messing up and stumbling, we each have said something out of our mouths, right? That inflict damage, that hurt someone, that cause someone pain. And when you are never at fault, when you don't see that the things that you say or the things that you do, I just want you to know, that's what we say is perfect. And I haven't met a perfect person yet. Well, nope, I haven't met one, but I know one as a Jesus follower. I'm just saying, right? So if you're never at fault with the things you say or do, you're basically saying that you're perfect. So let's do this. Let's talk about words. Let's talk about my words. Let's talk about your words. Let's talk about words that are said to us and words that we say to others. I'm telling you, this topic is something everyone listening can relate to. You can relate to this. See, my mouth, your mouth, our mouths have the potential to, but inflict pain, inflict damage, inflict hurt on people. See, it can inflict damage on every single person we know and every single person that crosses our path. I mean, my mouth and your mouth can be our greatest potential to build other people up, and it also can be our greatest weapon to tear people down. No doubt, we each have the potential to inflict damage. Like I said, pain, to inflict pain in people's lives with our words. I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I'm not asking you to stand up, you know, to say, oh, yes, I did, because I believe none of us are exempt with this. None of us. So now, this may not always be the case, but in some cases, word damage can be way worse than physical damage. For example, if you slam my hand, right, in your car door, I am like 99.9999% sure that it was an accident. I'm just going to like immediately assume that you didn't mean to slam my hand in your car door. But when we use our mouths to inflict damage on people by the words we say, the harmful words that were said to me, see, I am not so convinced you didn't mean what you just said to me. See, I'm not convinced that, in fact, you may not have intended for those words to come out, but they came out. Or you may not have intended for those words to come out the way that they came out, right? The way they did, but they came out, which actually means they were in there. What I mean there, look, I'm pointing, they were in there in your heart. They were there. You were thinking about it. And so why shouldn't I assume that they're still in there, that they're still there? See, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you guys know, I've always, you know, when I talk about heart, I'm doing this or I'm doing this, because it depends on who you say the word heart. You may think your physical heart. I also think our minds as well. So let me say that again. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Have you ever heard of that before? So that's some wisdom right there. Do me a favor, Google it and find out who said it. See, I'm not convinced that I didn't just learn something about the way you see me because of the words that you said to me, the way that you value me, or the way that you just don't respect me. See, I'm not convinced that I just learned this. This is a big deal. This is a big deal, you guys. And let me share with you why it's a big deal. When it comes to strangers, first-time acquaintances, or people we do not know, what do you say to them? Do you watch your words? When it comes to our more intimate relationships, those relationships that in our life, like your family relationships with your children, your relatives, the people that you love, those you would consider like your best friend or in your inner circle, what do you say to them? Do you watch your words? Words are very, 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 did I say very? They are very, very powerful. And our discussion is on just how powerful words are. And how do you know they're powerful? Look at the results. So the question is, how do you use your words? Well, words are so powerful. We know that the more intimate the relationship, the heavier the words can become and the greater their capacity to wound, to leave a mark or a scar. Even words left unsaid, unsaid words, unsaid phrases have the potential to impact the trajectory of a person's life. I've witnessed it. I have witnessed college students, single adults, adults with children in tears because of a phrase they never heard their father say, a statement they never heard their mother say, words that they would have given anything to hear, anything to hear, such as, I love you. Oh, I'm so proud of you. Great job. Great job. You are so important to me. You are valuable. You matter. And I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Words such as thank you or I'm sorry. Please forgive me. In fact, unspoken words have just as much impact as spoken words on our lives. I'm convinced. My point is simple. Words are powerful and words carry weight, which leads me to ask a question. Another question that is, how heavy are your words? Ephesians 4:29 states, and for those who are not familiar with the Bible, Ephesians is a book in the Bible. It's in the New Testament. And it says, chapter 4:29 verse states, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. There's a book in the Bible in the Old Testament called Proverbs, the 18th chapter, the 21st verse, you'll find that it says life and death is in the power of the tongue. And in James 1:19, it says, remember this, my dear brothers and sisters, Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and should not get easily angry. James also said, the tongue, it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. He said in chapter 3, 7 through 8, humankind can tame beasts and birds, reptiles, and creation in the sea, yet we cannot tame our own tongue. The scripture says no man, no woman can tame the tongue. And James describes the human tongue, like I said, as an unruly evil that is full of deadly poison. We use our tongue, our mouths, right, in conjunction with our tongue to create words or to speak words, right? Since the beginning of creation, our lives has been shaped by words spoken to us, spoken over us, spoken at us, and spoken about us. Words spoken and unspoken shape our childhood. It shaped who we are from our childhood. They shape our relationships. They built relationships. They undermine relationships. They destroyed and rebuilt marriages. Words. Uh-huh. Words spoken to us, again, at us, over us, have impacted our confidence. So much so that they determine, to some extent, who we actually see in the mirror. Who we actually see in the mirror. Words. Uh-huh. That's what they do. So how heavy were the words spoken to you? How heavy are the words you speak? Think about it. Have you ever been crushed by someone's words? And if so, then you understand what I'm talking about. Because none of us are exempt. We have all been injured or crushed in some way by the words of other people. Again, words carry weight. Words spoken and unspoken leave marks. Words leave a mark. They can leave a mark for good, and words can leave a mark potentially for bad. Words build and destroy. You guys with me? Words discourage and they inspire. Sometimes words wound our lives, mine included. So we all have been shaped to some extent by the words spoken to us, the words spoken at us, and like I said, over us and about us. My life, your life, our lives have been shaped by words that people said to us, and our lives in some case have been shaped by words we didn't hear or they didn't hear, words that we want to hear, that we need to hear, but we never heard. So here's the thing. We are all quick to recognize the power that our words, or let's just say the power that other people's words have had over us on our lives. We're very quick to recognize that, but we are often very slow to recognize or slow to admit the fact that our words, the words that we speak, the words spoken and unspoken, have equal power in lives of other people. Mm-mm. It isn't easy to admit you've been impacted by the people's words. And it's not easy to admit that people have been impacted by your words. Again, we're quick to remember the exact words. We can probably tell you the time and the day and or the day of the week when someone said something, especially the hurtful words to you. But when it comes to you, when it comes to me, the words we say, we make excuses. We make excuses such as, that's just who I am. Or, I'm just being honest. They're just words. My words are just that, just words. They don't even weigh that much. Really? And you know, nothing can be further from the truth. Consequently, we don't want to be honest to the fact that we use our words irresponsibly. We don't want to be honest with that. And we'll all say, well, not on purpose, but that's not true either. We are irresponsible with our words because we just don't want to understand or realize, or we want to recognize nor embrace the fact that words carry weight, and words are not equally weighted either. Negative words weigh way more than positive words. Yep. Our negative words weigh way more than positive words. See, study has been done in marketplace relationships, which tells us that we need to hear five to nine positive words to counterbalance one negative word. But I believe in relationships, in a marriage, in intimate relationships with your kids, with your parents, with your brothers, your siblings, right? Even with your best friend, I believe it's not nine or five to nine. It is probably 25 to 30 positive words to counterbalance one negative word that we say to our loved one. So what negative words are you saying to those around you, especially to those who you say you love? Here's another point about words we must ponder. The source of the words determines the weight. The source of a word or words that is said to us determines the weight and what we say as well, right? So when we're in a conversation, even more so with those we love and who loves us, we must remember who we are and what we represent to that person on the other side, to the person. We have to remember that. That means you got to think about, who am I? And what do I represent to this person or to that person on the other side of me? See, what people hear and what they feel, regardless of what we think we're saying, can and will do major damage in the lives of others. And when we get it wrong, that is like, because we're all going to get it wrong. Our intent becomes irrelevant. Your words, my words, our words carry weight, and they are not equally weighted. They carry more weight than you and I think they do, especially and specifically in relationships, parents and child, children and husband and wife, boss and employees, best friends, people who are close to us, people we say we love and who say they love us. The fact is, we know words have the potential to destroy as well as build, and undermine as well as inspire. All of us should take that into consideration, because we all know that. We've been impacted by words of other people. We all must recognize that we must be good stewards and be careful with our words, especially if you are a human being. So that includes all of us, right? A human being who cares about others, or if you're a person like me, I'm a Jesus follower, including a human being, right? What is the weight of our words? I might even be saying it wrong. I don't know. What are the weight, right? Like, that's a lot of weight. I don't know. But anyway, what are they doing to other people? What is the weight of your words doing to people, especially those you claim you love? And are your words leaving marks and creating unforgivable wounds that takes years to heal? Are they building or destroying? What results are your words producing? What is the weight of your words? Are they producing positive or having positive outcomes or negative outcomes? For me, the weight of my words caused me to miss out on an important relationship in my life for at least 5 years. My relationship with my godchild, my goddaughter. One day I tore into her so bad that my husband literally had to hold me back and keep me from laying my hands on her. That's how out of the frame I was. And in no way am I justifying my behavior. Point blank, I was wrong. I was dead wrong, but I didn't see my fault. I didn't see it then that I was wrong. Heck no, not for a second did I see it. In my mind, I was right, and I felt it was her fault. And I felt she deserved every word I said to her because that's where I was. And being quick-witted, I'm a quick-witted person. Like my husband says, you quick with your mouth. And I am, especially like, and so with my tongue, right? Like I'm quick. There's nothing she could have said to me to make me see my wrong. Nothing. I totally blamed her because that's how I felt. I blamed her because it was her fault. And because it was her fault, she felt my wrath. And to be totally honest, for a while, I did not even care. Not one iota. I didn't care. Of course, as time goes by, we want to forget. We want to forget how we showed up. We want to forget what we said. We want to forget what we did. And reality is, you can't wish it away because it won't go away, nor can you forget it. Mm-mm. Because your true self will remind you of it. You may act like you have forgotten, but that's not it. That's not the real truth. You didn't forget about it. See, how do I know this? Because every time someone hurt me, I didn't forget. And the same applies to you. You don't forget. We don't forget. Every time someone hurts you, you don't forget. We can't forget. As our human nature will not allow us to forget, even when we act like we have amnesia. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we show up like that. See, I don't know what you do or done to resolve similar situations in your life, but allow me to share what I did. And no, it did not happen overnight. It took years. It took some years. And I'm not saying for you to, you know, allow years to go by. It took some years for me to see, and I was wrong. So the incident came up again and again, especially when I decided to invest in my well-being, my wellness, to invest. I start seeing this incident more and more and more. When I started to do some self-work on me, emotional wellness work. Remember, you guys, I'm an emotional life coach, right? This is what I do. I work with youth and young adults and adults, and I help them to manage their emotions. I help them to put words to their feelings and their thoughts. I help people to be who they were created to be unapologetically. See, this incident right here is what put me on the path to becoming an emotional wellness life coach. When I started the process of emotional wellness, I had to peel back. I had to peel back layers, right? Of what I call gook, what I call hurt, pain, just to begin to identify who I am. I had to do the work. I began to uncover the times in my life where I showed up inflicting hurt and pain on others. And the incident with my goddaughter showed up clearly. It was staring me in my face, right? I had to deal with, I had to look at it. See, when you take the time to really look at yourself and turn over those rocks, those stones, those things, and throw back the rug, right? You will see, you will begin to see all those things that you do not want to face. All the things that you blame others for by shifting blame from you to them. See, I know I'm not alone on this. Shifting the blame is the easy part. Acknowledging you were wrong and owning how you show up, that's the hard part. That's the hard part. So in previous episodes, I spoke about the work I did on myself. It is the work that I did on me that helped me to uncover my greatness. That is why I know I'm great. I did the work and no one can tell me differently. See, I not only know I'm great, I believe each and every one of us are great. And in my search for my identity, I found my true self. I found my true self, my true identity. And it was that identity that stared me square in my face, looked me square in my eyes, and would not allow me to go on blaming others for my behavior. Mm-mm. And just saying anything out my mouth, Like, it would not allow me to do that. My words have consequences. Your words have consequences. When they inflict hurt and pain on others, it will impact their lives. Think about it. Think about the forest or a forest fire. So we've seen over the last 10 to 12 years in California and on the West Coast, those forest fires were set by a small spark, right? Tens of thousands of acres and neighborhoods burned. Lives has been threatened and lost, and property damage were in the billions of dollars because a single spark or an act of irresponsibility or just some freak nature. Now, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Your mouth, your tongue, my tongue. Allow me to personalize this. My tongue, it's a spark. Your tongue is a spark. My words, your words have the potential to be that spark that burn down relationships, that burn down a marriage or marriages, that burns down a life, that burns down a child, that burns down someone's self-esteem, someone's confidence. And we know this because we had other people's fire inflict on us. See, the real danger of a fire is that it spreads, and that it spreads quickly if it's not isolated. It may start small, but we all know it doesn't stay small. A few words have the potential to create a great deal of harm. Now, there are two things you can do with an unintentional fire. You can either try to contain it or you can extinguish it. When it comes to the fire, we start with our mouths, with our tongues, right? In other people's lives, with the words that we say, our natural inclination is to attempt to contain it by explaining ourselves. We try to explain our behavior, but explaining it is not containing it. It actually spreads the fire even more. And you know this because somebody hurt you with their words. And when they circle back around and try to explain it, you know it didn't help. Instead, it irritated you. It reminded you that they don't even understand the damage that they done when they said what they said. And even more, trying to explain the hurtful words that they inflict on you. It just makes things worse. The fire is not contained. Instead, it spreads. Explaining, again, it actually says or admits, it's an admission that you don't really understand the damage that you cause with your words because you're trying to explain it. It makes it worse. Like I said, an explanation elevates me. When I give an explanation behind my hurtful words, it elevates me, not the person that I hurt. So don't explain it in an attempt to tame the fire that you cause, because it's only going to increase the pain. So don't explain it in an attempt to contain the damage that you've done. It only ramps up and increases the pain, and that's just not the way to move forward. It's not. The goal, especially for those who are Jesus followers like me, like the goal is to extinguish the fire, to put it out, period. Put it out. So what I learned while doing self-work on me, what I learned on my journey to find my identity, I learned word fires are extinguished with two things. And neither of these things come naturally. And so for some of us, it's even harder, right? Because they don't come naturally. It requires effort and commitment. It is not intuitive because we are innately selfish beings and we want to be right. So it's not intuitive. I want to be right when I know I'm wrong, and I want to be understood in my wrongness. You want to be right as well. And you want to come out looking okay. I know I do. I want to know that that time that I didn't do anything wrong, when in actuality I did. So want to know how to extinguish the fire? We start with our words. You start with your words. Word fires are like any kind of relational conflict. And they are extinguished with a ginormous dose of humility and sensitivity. That's how you begin to extinguish the fire. Humility elevates the other person. Humility means I'm going to submit myself to you. Humility says, I'm going to put you and your interests and your well-being ahead of my own, even if it costs me. No, humility is taking full responsibility of your words, of your behavior, and owning how you show up. Humility along with sensitivity. See, explaining or trying to give an explanation is insensitive. That is why it makes it worse. Again, explaining is actually an admission that you don't really understand the damage you cause with your words. I don't really understand the damage that I cause with my words. We make it worse because of an explanation. The explanation elevates you. The explanation elevates me. It elevates the perpetrator. Because my explanation, I want to be understood. I want you to not misjudge my actions. I've taken something from you with my words, and now I want you to understand me. I want you to understand why, where I'm coming from. I want you to know my real intent, right? Really? In reality, I'm suddenly making it all about me. That's what I'm doing. See, I've hurt you is completely irrelevant, and I'm trying to get you to understand why. That is extraordinarily insensitive. Insensitive words require sensitivity. Sensitivity. We need sensitivity to empower a person to move beyond the insensitivity we just inflict on them, the hurt that we inflict on them with our words, to move beyond the spark that caused the fire and the explanation that caused it to spread. You need humility and you need sensitivity. That's what we need. Now, that's how you begin to extinguish the fire. That's it. Humility elevates the other person. We need it. You need it. And we need sensitivity. So what does it look like? What does it look like? What does it sound like to extinguish a word fire? What? Are you ready for it? Like, let me show you what it looks like. Ready? I'm sorry. And then stop talking. Let me show you again. I'm sorry. And don't say anything. Don't say anything after that. Because anything you say after that sounds like an excuse or an explanation. If you have to say something else, right? If you have to say something else, just rinse and repeat, right? Say it again. I'm sorry. If you have to say something else, then say, there's no excuse for what I said. I'm sorry. You don't deserve that. I am so sorry. And then you sit in your guilt while they sit in their hurt. And please, please, please don't try to take charge of the restoration process, right? Don't do that. Because if you do, I'm telling you, it's a huge mistake. It will backfire. Because restoration is not up to you in that moment. It's not up to me after I've already inflicted pain. It's not up to me. The restoration process is up to the person who was just damaged by my words, by your words. You did the damage. You must allow them to choose the speed and the method of recovery. We have to give them grace. We have to give them space and time to allow them to heal and recover. More importantly, don't try to tell them how bad you feel. That too is irritating and it's also irrelevant. You have made them feel awful. Therefore, it doesn't matter how bad you feel. It doesn't matter how bad I feel. Saying how I feel, saying how you feel, that's like making a request for empathy from them in their hurt. You are saying, would you please feel sorry for me? I realize I devastated you with my words. Come on. I cut you with my words and now feel bad for me. Please give me some empathy. As the perpetrator, you are the one. I'm the one as the perpetrator that caused the problem. I started that fire. I sparked it. I started that fire. I am not in a position to ask for anything, not even a hug. I'm not in a position to ask for anything. You're not in a position to ask for anything. We need to begin creating a space for them to determine when and how to move back in your direction. That's what we need to do. This is what it looks like to be others first. When we screwed up with our words, when we sparked the fire with our words. See, I'm going to say, I'm sorry, and say nothing else. I'm going to elevate that person. I'm going to give them some space. I'm going to let them know and allow them to set the pace for restoration. I'm not going to ask for anything. I'm not going to ask for anything from you. Instead, I'm just going to submit myself to you. Take a moment and remember who we are and who we represent to the person on the other side of us. Remember, humility, sensitivity, humility, sensitivity, humility, sensitivity, and let them choose if and when they will forgive. That is how you extinguish a word fire. That's what it looks like. Every time you speak, every time I speak, every time we speak, our words have the potential to betray, hurt, and damage. Remember, three dynamics are always in play. Remember this, words aren't equally weighted. Negative words weigh way more than positive words. And the source determines the weight. That means you don't have to think about, that means you have to think about, who am I and what I do? I represent the person on the other side. What do I do, right? How do I represent that person on the other side of me? See, for my goddaughter, I was her godmother. Need I say more? Need I say more? These three things determine what people hear and what they feel, regardless of what we think we're saying. And when we get it wrong, which we will, we're going to get it wrong. Don't try to contain it. Just decide, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to extinguish it. Extinguishing it, the quickest way to bring back the relational wholeness, right? That's the quickest way. See, I'm happy to share that my goddaughter and I are in a restored, happy, loving relationship because I own my role. I own my part. I took responsibility for my actions and how I showed up that awful day. When I started that fire with my tongue, and it spread. It spread for 5 years. So I have to ask, is there anyone, is there anybody at home who have been crushed by your words recently? Is there anybody in your community, anybody in your neighborhood, anybody on your block, anybody at work, maybe a loved one, maybe a friend, maybe a friend of a friend, maybe your children, maybe one of your children friends. I don't know. Maybe your husband, maybe your spouse, maybe your parent or your parents was crushed with something that you said, something, that stupid thing that was said. And then you went into an explanation. Is there anybody who has been crushed by your words? Is there a fire that you have attempted to, that you started and you attempted to contain by explaining that, right? That what you need to do is step back and extinguish it. See, the good news is this, your words, your tongue, that is so dangerous. It is also a tool that can bring about good. My word, my tongue, my mouth, yep, it's a dangerous thing. But it can also bring about good. It can bring about good, about life, if you choose it, if you choose to use it that way. If you bring a big dose of humility and sensitivity back into the relationships that you're in, oh, they will be extraordinarily healing to those who have been hurt by you. This is good advice for everyone, but if you're a Jesus follower, this is what love sounds like. This is what love does. See, remember, I shared with you James' word, right? James said in 1:19, right? Chapter 1, verse 19, he said, remember this, my dear brothers and sisters, everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and should not get angry easily. He also said the tongue, right? It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. We can spew deadly poison all over the place. Humankind can tame beasts. This is James. He said it, right? We contain birds, reptiles, and look, and the creation in the sea. Yeah, we can catch fish, yet we cannot tame our own tongue. Scripture says no man or woman can do it. The human tongue is unruly evil that is full of deadly poison. We use our tongue in conjunction with our mouth, and we speak words. And in the words of Paul, he said, do not let any thinking word, I add that, do not let any unwholesome words, any hurtful words come out of your mouth, but only words that are good for building others up according to their needs, not yours, right? Not your needs, according to their needs, that it may benefit everyone who hears. Why? Because your words carry weight. My words carry weight. So what are the weight of your words? What are the weight of your words producing? That's the question I want to leave you with. So join me on our next episode where we will lean in even more in our discussion with our guests about the weight of words. The weight of words. That's it for now, you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for hanging in here with me. I really appreciate it. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this episode. May this transformational discussion shift your mindset so you can live in possibility, so you can step higher in your greatness and stand bolder in your brilliance. Do not wait another minute. Start now to uncover your greatness. And begin to fall madly, madly, did I say madly, in love with you. The journey to unleashing and owning your true self doesn't end here. Be sure to subscribe to the show at KimRGrimes.com. Leave a rating and gear up for more conversations like this one. See you on the next episode. And remember, you are not a mistake. You are you, unapologetically.